flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Keith, we'll get to the Celtics, but you ready for some snow?
I am ready for some snow. Real quick, did you see they were kind of accusing me of taking the Thin Mints? I thought we'd kind of put that to bed yesterday.
I feel like you...
I said too much?
Implicated yourself, yeah.
But I admitted to all these other crimes, so why would I? Wouldn't I just toss that one
on?
No,
that's a classic.
Wouldn't I do that?
That's a classic move.
Is it?
Yeah, you confess.
Take the hit for the caramel delights.
Yeah, you confess to a lesser crime, and then, oh, hey, he confessed. I mean, he couldn't have done the worst thing. No, 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 no.
You know what goes good with Thin Mints? Gregnog.
Oh. No.
You take the bottle. I don't have any Thin Mints anymore.
First of all, that was sitting here, and he came right back.
He
doesn't trust us.
It's delicious.
I
don't want to leave any temptation during the show.
Courtney it won't be here tomorrow. Yeah, if you leave something here, it's gone.
I'm kind of worried about Five Fingers Keith,
yeah,
if you know what
I'm saying. No, that's very, very fair. If you confess to a lesser crime like Keith was doing yesterday,
I was listening to the whole thing.
That made me
suspicious. First of all, he was outraged at the original suggestion.
Yeah, that's a good point. You were outraged.
You know what I'm saying?
Too hot?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Like, who cares? Yeah. So somebody ate some cookies? Like, who cares?
Is that your Rich Keefer?
This is kind of a weird topic for them to bring up. But,
I've never sounded so manly in my life.
And then he went into, well, I did have, you know, an occasional caramel delight.
I had a lot of cookies. Yeah. I did eat a lot of cookies. No Thin Mints.
So is she still steamed? I didn't really hear. Is she still steamed about the Thin Mints?
She's not steamed. Yeah, she actually is a little steamed.
I have to turn the whole segment off because you threw the Samoa out there with abandon. And so it was.
I did.
That was
reckless. We didn't dump that, Nick.
Extremely reckless.
Yeah.
It was
true.
Not dumped. I was sitting there. I was like, Nick.
That's on Nick's head.
It was very, very controversial.
All right. Merry Christmas.
Last day of the fall book. I was trying to spice it up.
You gave it a shot.
Get a little spice. I see.
Yeah.
She's still angry about that.
She was, because she was like, I was hoping to have Thin Mints the next day. I'm like, it's a radio station. You work with a bunch of pigs. Like, you really think, and again, I know it's going to sound like it's me. It wasn't. But so her show ends. There's 3 more shows. You think one box of Girl Scout cookies is going to survive that?
Right.
No chance.
No. I mean, around me, yes. So, but I would never trust anybody else.
But even you have to admit, even if you think that maybe I took the Thin Mints, you certainly didn't see me take the Thin Mints.
I did not. Okay. No, you're
right, Billy. Billy, I didn't take the Thin Mints.
You're a pro.
plenty cameras around here. Nobody's brought any footage forward. So
that's true.
No one saw any stolen flowers. Go back and check the tapes.
I would take a Ben Stiller lie detector test on the Thin Mints. I would.
All right,
me and Jinxie Cat, you could hook us up.
How about Greg with the Keith impression?
Yeah, I thought it was decent, if I'm being honest. It's not as nasally as it should be. I've been fighting something off for the last month. You got to go more nasally.
Well, get ready to fight off more with all the snow out there.
Yeah, the snow's coming down.
Did you actually have...
I was really glad that Jackson did the school cancellations at 9:30.
Honestly, I loved it. Do more of those. I want more school cancellations from Jackson.
I got to turn around and pick up my daughter. No, yeah. I dropped her off. She was fine. We had a little bit on the grass it stuck, but not enough to stick on the road. So it was just kind of gross. And then people were... driving like,
people
oh
are like,
my God.
Oh, I see snow in the air.
Should I slow way down?
Should I slow down? There's
let's cut our miles per hour in half.
Yeah. Go 20.
This is a commentary strictly about the city.
Driving?
I know. No, I'm saying the further out west you get, I understand there's actual snow.
Yeah.
And so this is a commentary strictly about the city. When there's just snow in the air, you don't need to drive any. It's just in the air.
Yeah.
It's not accumulating on the ground. It is not freezing. It was not. I was checking the temperature on my car. It was not 32 degrees. It was 38, 39 degrees. But yeah, slow commute this morning because there's snow in the air.
Just kind of in the air, barely.
Yeah.
Just go. Just go.
It was nice, though. It looked nice. I'll be honest. It looked nice out there.
Yeah, so. But it's a little too, I got to choose my words carefully,
wet.
It's a little, right, it's not as snow. It's not snow globe snow.
It's wetter than you'd like. Yeah. Yeah.
There's a sweet spot to it.
You're a dry guy.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, but you know what I mean? It's borderline rain where you're like, all right, there's puddles rather than snow.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm not loving it, but yeah, it's the first of the year, so people forget how to drive in it, and you get that.
Yeah. It'll freeze, I'm sure, eventually. Mm-hmm. That'll be a lot of
2-hour delays, apparently.
More than you would have realized.
Several towns were mentioned.
And if you were caught off guard by it.
Several towns.
You're like, crap.
I better.
Mike, it has a 2-hour delay. I heard drop off at school.
What am I doing right now? Standing outside?
That's got to be a nightmare, a 2-hour delay as a parent.
Yeah. Well, you're a parent.
No, but were there any snow days last year? I don't recall a snow day last year.
So my oldest.
Or any, definitely not a delay. I don't recall any snow days.
My oldest is in kindergarten. So last year.
Right. Lucas in first grade. So I don't have a lot of experience.
I don't have a lot of
experience. A 2-hour delay has to be miserable.
You know what I had last year, though? And it worked out. But she had an early dismissal because they lost power. So it was out of nowhere, we get a thing. It's come pick up your kid. And we're like, what? Right now? And so, she was, one of the last kids picked up for some reason. I felt awful. But I was like, we can't, right now? Hold on,
what are you supposed to do?
Yeah. No, she was fine. But it was that was an early one. I don't know if they had any school canceled. It wasn't, we didn't get a lot of snow last year.
No, I'm saying.
It really wasn't.
I don't recall for Boston Public anyway. I don't recall any cancellations.
There might not have been.
Now, look, I forget a lot of stuff. So I could be very, very wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I don't recall a lot of that a year ago. Anyway, it is Jones and Keith.
Hello.
Here on WEEI. You can dial us up and text us. It's all the same number now. 617-779-7937.
Which is great, I think.
It begs the question, why was that not a thing before?
I don't know.
Why was that just never a thing?
You need to text into this five-digit number. It's what?
I guess,
I'm always really?
I just kind of took that as what it was.
Because this main line would still ring. And it would be Verizon customer.
Is that why?
Oh.
Yeah, so there was how about that?
Oh, that's
so
obnoxious.
You could text the number, but we would get an automated response.
I just kind of took it as what it was for years. I mean, all these text lines, I just kind of took it for what it was. I guess that's the logic. But it's now all the same number. That's how you get in touch. You can also interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can follow along and chat at twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always good stuff going on in there. And on YouTube, you can subscribe to WEEI.
My wife's listening. She texted me. Last year, CeCe had one snow day, and I remember it now because there was literally no snow.
Oh, it was
the day that they announced it the night before. They were like,
yep.
Oh, it's coming down big time. And then we got up she had to stay home, and we couldn't even plan the snow because there was none.
It was the day that there was no snow, and Arjan stayed home. I know the day you're talking
about. It was bone dry.
Yeah.
Bone dry. I remember that. That's right. Good memory.
Right.
Thank you.
How could I forget? What a day that was.
That was insane.
What a day that was.
Yeah.
Guys, it was supposed to snow. I'm not coming in.
I did hear, I don't know if they paid it off today, but Greg, I feel like this is HIPAA, but Greg has the full list of everybody's flex time that they took. And I don't know if they were going to do that today.
Oh, he does.
I don't know.
Wait, did you do the, wait, really?
He was going to announce who station took the most flex time.
I would like to.
I feel like that's personal.
Wait.
I feel like one.
On. Yeah. Just the most or everybody?
Because I think I'd be least.
So good question. I don't know. I heard him tease it.
I'd want to know where I fit in the whole power rankings.
So would I.
I don't care who is just the most.
So should I add more for 2025 or do I need to cut back because I'm at the top? I don't really know where I would stand. My guess would be in the middle, but who knows?
I think it's no HIPAA because it's considered flex time. It's not like, hey, this many
good
sick
point.
Days.
Oh, good point on sick days.
So it's a flex thing. Could be for anything.
So I think he has that information.
Yeah, but what days do you take besides flex day? I only take flex days now. We don't have vacation
that's all
or
it
anything.
Is.
Well,
yeah,
no, but,
that's
like,
exactly
you,
but like, so you can't say like you took so many sick days.
I
you
see. Think right, right. I understand.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's technically
you can.
Yeah. No, I know you can. Some people do.
Yeah. Some.
So
yeah.
I don't know how it all goes down, but just like days off, maybe they have a list of that, and so everybody.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think Clappy Cheeks 10 might have it in the Twitch chat. flex canned.
I would assume he's the runaway winner,
might
but
be
I don't.
An
anonymous source just told me that the winner rhymes with spark hand.
Okay.
That's the text I received from an anonymous source.
Anonymous source. Okay. So I don't know what the number is. I don't know who's like a close second or if there even is a close second. But so at least we're
like
off the hook there. It's not us.
I would very much like to know. Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, we had a Celtics game last night, Keith.
We sure did.
Beyond the snow and all the flex time.
Sadly for you, it was not a part of the in-season tournament
Cup. There were no cup games
just
last night.
Just a regular game.
But I would have appreciated more stakes around that. I really still don't get the NBA Cup hate. But whatever, neither here nor there.
That's not what we're talking about today, folks.
They win 130 to 120. There's no Jason Tatum. Jaylen Brown has a good game, which I think is interesting for whether or not the Celtics can weather the storm with a potential Tatum injury, not in a playoff series, but for a stretch of time.
Yeah.
Or whether or not they need to run more plays through Jaylen Brown, which we can get into last night. But I'm starting to wonder, now they're 18-4?
Yes.
I believe they picked up their fifth loss after 19 games a year ago. So they're already ahead of last year's trend, if you will. Are the Celtics better than they were a year ago? That's not what I'm wondering about this team.
I think the answer is yes. Obviously, Porzingis is such a wild card, right? So if you take the stretch where Porzingis was healthy from a year ago, and if you compared it to a time where, let's say, he's out or missing games, yeah, obviously that's a difference. But don't you think nobody's worse, I don't think, than last year? Drew Holiday also didn't play last night.
Yep.
So it was Tatum, no Holiday. And, you know, you beat a bad Pistons team. Pistons aren't as bad as they were, like, the year before. I mean, they were, like, 2-20 or whatever. They were horrible last year.
No, they're
so they're a little bit better.
When we did our tiers, they're definitely better than I thought.
Yeah. I mean, but still, they stink.
They're not good.
But, no, I would say nobody has dropped off, and then you've gotten Peyton Pritchard playing a lot better. So, like, your team's better. And, Kata had his moments, and who knows what he'll even be as the season goes on. Sam Hauser had really good games last year. He was in the starting lineup last night, hits 5 threes. So like you know what he can do. But I think they are better because last year was the first year they were all thrown together and they figured it out and they won a title. Similar to the Celtics in 08. That was the first year those guys were together, figured it out, won a title. But you have a few guys that are very much, very much in their prime. You only have really Horford and Holiday, I would say, post-prime, but still productive. Mm-hmm. So if you add all of that together, and then all of the bench pieces, to me, have kind of taken like a big step forward. I would say even Joe Mazzulla's got to be more comfortable. The monkey's off the back of Tatum and Brown for winning a title. So, yeah, I think they are better than they were last year.
So last year they started 15-4. They dropped their 20th game, not their 19th, against Indiana. They did start the year 20-5 through 25 games. So that takes you up close to Christmas. They are a long way of saying ahead of last year's pace. Now, if you remember, Keith, back in 2008, I mean, the Celtics started very well in 2008. They were even better the following year in 2009.
Yeah.
Injuries caught up to them.
Yep.
You know, Garnett misses a bunch of time. They still got to an Eastern Conference final. But what looked like a hot start and what might have been a better team on paper to start that year got derailed. I don't think you run the same risk with this team. Injuries can derail any team.
Yeah.
But it's not as advanced in age. You are getting Porzingis back. Who knows if you'll have him?
It would have to be multiple injuries. It'd have to be like three injuries.
This is part of what I think last night helps illustrate. Like, even if you lost Tatum for like an early round playoff series, Jaylen Brown can still lead you past this Eastern Conference that is not very good. We spent a lot of time talking about it.
The East is a lot worse than I thought.
Could you beat the Brooklyn Nets in round one without Tatum?
You sure could.
Or Chicago or Indy. Maybe Indiana was pesky last year. Maybe they'd be peskier than I'm giving them credit for. They're 9-15.
Frisky?
9-14. Atlanta, Miami, like teams like this, you might be able to win with an injury to Tatum early on in the postseason. So, yeah, I think they're better than they were a year ago.
They're on pace for 67 wins, which That would tie the team record, right? As we looked this up before, the Garnett Pierce team won 66. Last year's team won 64. The 86 Celtics, who everybody points to as the greatest team of all time, one of the greatest teams of all time, they were 67-15 in that season.
So
they're right in that conversation.
So I do think they're better than a year ago. Yeah. I think a lot of people would agree, and you make a good point. Missoula's better. Tatum might be the MVP. Jalen is coming off the conference finals and NBA finals MVP performances. Pritchard's better.
Pritchard's
blah, blah, blah.
Much better, yeah.
So I think a lot of people would agree. Is that enough? Are they going to have a tougher road through the playoffs? Is something we spend a lot of time talking about. I think a team like New York on paper is a better challenger than a lot of teams a year ago. They seem to have figured things out,
yeah.
Right? They've won 8 out of their last 10. Cleveland has already split with the Celtics. Are they better? So even if you're better, is that a guarantee you're going to win again? Maybe not. But we'll start there with the Celtics here today on Jones and Keith. 617-779-7937. Is this team somehow better than a year ago? I want to get more into Jalen and how he looked without Tatum last night. Should the Celtics lean more on Jalen Brown? We'll get to Peyton Pritchard, who we just discussed. How impactful has he been? All that.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your broadcast partner has been a polarizing figure, I would say, in the sports media landscape here in Boston. I'm a fan of his. I like Drew. But even I think at this point, he's a little out of control. Would you agree? I mean, like, he's every big highlight, and you're feeding into it. I think you two have this weird sort of symbiotic thing. You try and top each other now. But it's almost like you have, like, production meetings where you're like, all right, let's see how far we can take it tonight. Is that, am I wrong here, or are you guys doing this on purpose now?
As Russell Crowe would say, are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
I'm very entertained. I'm telling you,
he's
like
a hater.
Even I think it's getting to preposterous level scale.
Ride with ride it.
STFU. STFU if you're not, you know? Just enjoy the show. Enjoy the show.
I was Scal yesterday on WEEI Afternoons.
Yeah, defending his guy.
Yeah, I would say it was a little testy, but it was really more good-natured than anything.
Yeah, no, not
but
testy.
STFU, he wow. tells Arcand. If you missed any of that, it's on the Odyssey app. Get that on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. Yeah.
If you don't like it, pound sand.
Yeah.
This is what it is.
I mean, how do you feel about the broadcast this year? I feel like it's a fair thing to discuss with the audience getting used to know more Mike Gorman.
Maybe that's what it is. I don't like change, Jones.
Yeah.
And so we are in store for a lot of change, like as Boston sports fans. Mike Gorman has done the Celtics my entire life. Mm-hmm. Joe Castiglione did the Red Sox my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And even Jack Edwards has done the Bruins for a good chunk of my life. Like, you know what I mean? And for a lot of Bruins fans, most of their fandom probably is Jack Edwards. So now all of a sudden this year, and then starting next year, you know, with no Joe here on EEI, it's just a big change. I don't like it. Like, you get so used to the guys. Like, it's still... you know, not hearing Gil and Gino do the Pats is different, right? Like, not hearing those. And that's been years and years.
Like a decade.
Like,
you get
so used to the team broadcaster that almost it's, like, impossible shoes to fill. Like, going from Mike and Tommy to Drew and Scal is a lot for Celtics fans.
It's very cheerleadery is what I would say. And, like, the team's really good, and I get it. And maybe that plays to the fan base, but it is very cheerleadery.
Now, is it because of the best team in the league, or is it just because hey, we're the home broadcast?
I think it might be amplified a little bit because they're the best team in the league, but I think it's a home broadcast thing, and that's fine. If people like it, they like
it.
Every once and then Scal will slip in like a very, very fair pointed criticism, and I'm like, I wish there was more of that.
And
maybe
he's capable of that, but I think
maybe they're encouraged to play up the cheerleading aspect of it.
Because he saw, like, Tommy was loved, and Tommy was the ultimate homer, and Tommy was the guy that, more than anybody else, deserved to be the ultimate homer.
Yeah.
Player, coach, broadcaster, sure. Like, good Lord, like, that is the Celtics right there. And, you know, Scal became kind of like a fan favorite as, like, the guy on the, you know, the end of the bench or the 08 title team, and then he just wants to embrace that because he's like, I don't want to be the guy that criticizes, because... Not that you have to go to the extreme, but you hear Kendrick Perkins criticize the team, and now everybody's like, hates him.
Yeah, it's true.
So, like, are you afraid? Like, do you just say positive things because you're like, I think this is what people want to hear?
I mean, look, 95% of the time you're going to be right about the Celtics these days.
Well, right now, yeah, you could predict them to win every single game, and you could say they're the best team because they are, in fact, the best team.
It's true. It's just, it does get a little, it's like the second quarter, and they're on, like, a little bit of a run, and we're it sounds like it's the NBA Finals. When I say it's a little cheerleadery, like, that's what I mean.
That was a lot bit.
Actually, did you hear the guy doing the, not to get to the Bruins yet, we'll do that coming up. Andrew Raycroft is going to join us at 11:30, as he does every week here on a Bruins Thursday. Did you hear the guy on TNT doing the Bruins? Like, talk about a guy who was excitable.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure who that was. I'm not sure. I actually Googled it and couldn't find it and got lazy about it and didn't pursue it.
Yeah.
But it was, talk about an excitable broadcaster for like a goal in the second period.
Shot in the arm, you know?
Yeah,
it's
chill
big,
out.
It's a big stage.
All I would say to those, just pace yourselves a little bit.
Hockey's on TNT. Got to get excited. Feel good about it.
Pace yourselves is all I would say.
A long season.
And Celtics should win a lot of these games. They should go on 10 and 12-0 runs against crappy teams like the Pistons.
So I agree.
Pace yourselves a little bit.
Yeah.
That's all.
Okay. A lot of points are going to be scored. A lot of wins are going to be had.
But as Scal would say, STFU, Jones.
All right.
Celtics win last night. We agree. They're better than a year ago.
Yeah.
Now, that might not result in a championship. I think there's a chance a team like the Knicks is better than any team you would have faced in the East a year ago. You like the Cavs. You're going to get healthy teams. So
I like the Cavs, but not in a series against the Celtics.
No, me neither, but I'm just saying, it may not matter that you're better than you were a year ago. As we saw with the 08 Celtics, they started better in 09. Injuries can catch up to you, but that can catch up to any team. I don't think that's a unique criticism here. You just might have a tougher path, so even if you're better, maybe the league got a little better, maybe your path is that much more difficult. It might not guarantee a championship, but I agree, they are better than a year ago. I think that's fair to say now after 22 games.
Yeah.
They're 18-4. They had their fifth loss last year after 20 games. They're pacing ahead of last year for 67 wins. It feels like they're better than a year ago, which is saying something.
I just don't think there's a championship team in the Eastern Conference besides them. So, you know, maybe there's like a hard-fought series, maybe, but Cavs and Knicks, like, that would probably be the toughest possible road to the finals.
Yeah.
Like if depending on the seeding, if you got one of them in the second round and then one of them in the conference finals, that'd probably be the most difficult. And then I would say probably whoever emerges from the West would be the most difficult. But it's funny, we're at this time now in the NBA where LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant are all still good, but they're all past their primes. They're not like...
Oh, the Lakers got dusted 41. Last night.
That was 41.
Dusted.
So, but like, it's a real changing of the guard. And you're like, all right, is it going to be Giannis? Is it going to be Jokic? Is it going to be Tatum? They all have one title, each one of them. And I just feel like the most confident, maybe it's the way the team is built, because Jokic is the best individual player out of that group.
Mm-hmm.
But the way the team is built is like, maybe it's Tatum's time. Because think about all the titles that LeBron, Durant, and Curry, they all probably should have won more, but whatever. That's a lot of titles over the last 12 years or whatever. But I don't think they're going to win anymore. So now it's like, all right, who's that next wave of guys? I don't think Donovan Mitchell's Cleveland team is ready. I don't think Brunson's Knicks are ready. I don't think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's Thunder already. Like, you go down the list, maybe Anthony Edwards, but maybe not. Like, I think this is the perfect time, the way the landscape of the NBA is, for Tatum and the Celtics to go on a run. Like,
no,
a 5-year run.
For sure. And, you know, if you go win 67 games this year, maybe that aids Tatum in his MVP case. So you can jump in, 617-779-7937. That's your phone number and your text line on Jones and Keith. As it relates to Jaylen Brown last night, I liked his floor game. I think he finished with 4 turnovers. It was 9 assists. He scored a ton in the first quarter, and then he felt like more of a facilitator, distributor after that. I look at last night, and I said this earlier in the show, I think they could get by some of these bottom of the Eastern Conference teams in an opening round playoff series without Tatum. Like, could they beat the Miami Heat or the Atlanta Hawks or the Brooklyn Nets or the Bulls without Tatum? Maybe. Brown's that good. But the bigger takeaway for me is if Tatum doesn't have it, like Tatum did not have it on Monday against Miami. Didn't have it. Looked bad.
Didn't have it.
Sat out last night.
Yeah, yeah.
they should not be afraid to lean on Jaylen Brown on nights where Tatum doesn't have it. And Tatum has to be willing to go along with that. We saw that last year in the run through the playoffs.
Definitely.
And I think nights like last night illustrate you can do that even more. They can, it can be Jaylen Brown's night and Tatum can step into the background and that would be okay.
I agree completely. And not only that, it seems like they have even more confidence in more guys. Like in the come playoff time, we've seen it even in the past already, and I think they have more confidence in it going forward. It could be the Derek White game. It could be the Peyton Pritchard game, for all we know. Sam Hauser had a couple of games. Like all of those guys, even Al Horford every once in a while, gets into like the Wayback Machine, just starts tossing in threes. Porzingis, season high last night. If he's going, obviously capable of it. Like down the line, they have a lot of guys that just are capable of taking over a game. And that's really the difference between, I think, the other two competitors in the East. If Donovan Mitchell doesn't have it, good luck.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to lose by 100 points.
That's true.
If Jalen Brunson doesn't have it, they have a little bit more options, but even still, you're screwed. Whereas Tatum can legit, even this year, have a bad series against the Knicks, and they win in like five or six games tops, right? Like, I think that's just how deep and balanced they are and how, and to their credit, too, how well they work together. Whereas I don't think we'd be saying this 3 years ago, right? That's when the stats were like, Tatum doesn't assist on any Brown buckets. Brown doesn't assist on any Tatum. Like, that's kind of out the window. Like, those guys work great together now.
617-779-7937. You mentioned Porzingis. Can I give you one Porzingis gripe since we've been very positive on the Celtics?
Yeah.
Does he have to take every five steps behind the three-point line?
It does seem like. Is he afraid about his tootsies touching the line?
He's
back. I know.
Does every three? I know he can hit it. This isn't even a criticism about how many threes they take. This is like next level. He doesn't take threes at the three-point line. He takes them
fours.
Like you can move up a little bit.
I don't know.
Don't all have to be from out there.
Is he afraid? Like, is there something like mentally where he's just like afraid that his toes are going to touch the line? I'm sure he has huge feet, but like I did notice that too.
I know he can hit them.
Yeah,
I know the Celtics launch a bunch of them. I'm not telling him not to take them. I'm not saying never take one from that deep.
Is it a little bit easier though? You take another
every
two feet
single one has to be from out there. Everyone. Yeah. And this
started. He's like so tall that the line drive would be
maybe
worse if it was
like
closer.
Yeah, maybe they figured out the angle.
Like, this is actually the best shot for
me. They figured out the launch angle. I have no idea, I've just started to notice that it was in his very first game back, the very very first game. They were all out there. That's just started to bother me a little bit. Anyway, it's a minor gripe.
Fair enough.
617-779-7937. We'll get to the Bruins. It's Bruins Thursday here on Jones and Keefe. Andrew Raycroft going to join us at 11:30. Let's get to the Patriots as well. Jerod Mayo sat down with Tom E. Curran. Had some interesting things to say on the bye week. He can reflect on how it's gone so far for the Patriots in their first 13 games of the year. Plus, Greg Bedard hearing some things about Jerod Mayo and the rest of the coaches on staff. Is Mayo's attitude a problem? That's next.
I don't think he's as tough on the defense as he is on the offense, but I will tell you, like, this isn't new for Mayo. Some of the things that irked people behind the scenes last year when they were on staff, and I've been told this from multiple people, is that Mayo crapped on the offense during even like full coach meetings. He would talk about how I don't know about what's going on the other side of the ball, but you know, we're all good on our side of the ball. And that did not go over well with his fellow coaches.
Greg Bedard discussing Jerod Mayo a year ago. What coaches on the offensive side of the ball? I wonder who didn't like Mayo a year ago.
Probably not here now.
No. No, I think he comes on this radio station, though, from time to time.
I think that's true. He might be a head coach at in the college ranks.
Yeah. College in Boston.
It does check out, though, because remember how it was sort of awkward at like the press conference when they were talking about coaches and replacements? I think it was the first Mayo Kraft one. They asked him about the offensive coordinator, and it's like, no, not him. It's like, who it is, I don't know, but it's not him. It's like, no, there will be a change. Remember, it was worded somewhat weirdly, which is kind of consistent with how the whole season has been with Mayo.
Yeah, we should have seen it coming.
But it was something like, which I thought was the right move, like to move on from Bill O'Brien. But like the way that it was worded, it was like, I don't know, is he so much worse at his job than you are at yours? Like, what are you doing?
I'm starting to wonder with Mayo if things are like even worse than we realize over there.
Possible.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Because he was openly just apparently flaunting that he knew he was the next head coach down the stretch. While Bill was still coaching out
like
the string.
He was Negan from The Walking Dead.
Yeah, he felt like he was above it all. He could do whatever he wanted. He's a made guy. I'm the next coach here. And obviously he did no thinking or planning about how he was going to coach this season.
No.
So like that rubbed people the wrong way. And then as Bedard tells it, and it's Jones and Kiefer on WEEI, you just heard the clip. As Bedard tells it, he'd get into these meetings and be like, we're good on our side.
Yeah, you guys are great.
Which, like, he's not even the coordinator.
No.
He's not even, you're not even the guy on that side of the ball.
The inside linebacker
it's
coach.
It's really Bill.
Yeah.
Bill's kid is the one calling the plays.
That's right.
And he's the one going, yeah, I don't know what you guys are doing, but we're good over here.
We're doing pretty great over here, guys.
Which is a joke.
Yeah.
And so I'm starting to wonder, it's bad
That's
outside.
Like Sam Houser would be like, we're the best team in the league, aren't we, guys? We're doing pretty great, champions.
Right.
I don't even mean to take a shot at Sam Houser, but that's sort of the same thing.
Yeah, Sam Houser catching strays.
Yeah,
wow.
My bad, Sam.
But the idea that it's really bad outwardly, like the record's really bad, the PR of it is a nightmare.
Yeah.
Mayo has to correct himself all the time. Then you get the cuts him on the sideline doing nothing, and you're like, this is terrible. I wonder if it's worse in the building than we realize.
I think it's definitely possible. I mean, we'll see what happens, you know, because when things were getting a little hot, it's funny how we heard about, remember for like a 2-week span, we heard about the wide receiver coach.
Yep.
We're like, we're going to blame the wide receiver coach for this mess.
No, Van Pelt's been blamed. Tyler Hughes has been blamed. Marcus Covington has been blamed.
Rothstein's been blamed.
Rothstein is now getting blamed. Yes, good one.
Right.
Yes.
So like there's like these emerging kind of one-off scapegoats. Nobody's lost their job or anything. A few players have, but no, you know, no member of the coaching staff or whatever has. But if they finish the year 3-14, I can't imagine they're bringing everybody back. So it'll be interesting to see like who they put the blame on for this season.
Well, and how antsy are the Crafts? We talked about this yesterday. If Vrabel's really available this offseason, and he should be, is there a real chance they look at it and go, we should have brought in Vrabel last year. Somebody's going to hire him. This is our chance. Mayo's not working out. Let's go get Vrabel.
I think it's possible. I wouldn't bet on that. Like, I think Mayo's back, but I think that I would open the door to that.
So how hands-on are the Crafts, though, after some of these games? Tommy Curran had a sit-down with Jerod Mayo. I've heard a few of the clips. One of them he said, basically echoed something he said earlier in the year. I suck right now, guys, but the biggest leap for a player is year one to year two. I'll be way better next year.
Definitely.
Which, keep your fingers crossed, he'll be back. You know, Tyquan Thornton got so much better year one to year two.
So they might go from 3 to 5 wins?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Four
is better.
Four.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, Jalen Polk looks bad as a rookie, but he's going to be really good next year. That's basically what Mayo's
saying.
Best
hands in the league.
So this other clip, though, I've read. I've not fully heard it, so I'm curious how it sounds. But this is a sit-down that Tommy Curran had with Jerod Mayo about the Crafts and how involved they are after some of these games.
How does it go after a game? Do they say,
I set this up poorly. Time out. This might have been your question that you asked to Curran that he turned around and asked to Mayo. Listen to this question.
How do you like that?
Listen to this.
How does it go after a game? Do they say, why didn't you go for two? Is it that blunt, or what was the thought process?
We always debrief the games, and they're very, they just want to know at least my thought process. And they absolutely, just like the fans, sometimes don't agree with the way that the game is going. You know, obviously when you lose games, the questions are plentiful.
Pointed.
Very pointed. That's right.
Plentiful.
That's right. And again, though, as the head coach, like, I have to be able to answer those questions. And my job is not only to protect the coaches, but also protect the players. And that's why I try to take 100% accountability.
This is all on me, guys.
Does he take 100% accountability?
He does not.
I don't think so at all.
No.
Like, not even close.
I don't think so.
But how about that? So the Crafts are peppering him after all these games. They're like,
good.
Why didn't you? No, I mean, yeah. I agree. Good. But that can't be a good thing. You're getting called in after every game and going, why didn't you go for two?
Yeah.
Why were you running the ball here? Why weren't you doing X, Y, and Z?
To make a long season longer.
That doesn't sound like a coach who's on firm footing.
But you know, yesterday we were bringing up just the, you know, the owners in the city and how obviously Kraft and Henry, there's a lot of similarities, like a lot of winning, but then also a lot of like non-spending. One thing that's very different about the two, like, if after every game, Kraft is like, why'd you do this?
Yeah.
Does John Henry even know what the record is
good
of
point.
The team?
That's a good point.
But I'm not trying to, like, prop
Henry?
Up Kraft for that. I'm just saying, like, hey, if you care that much about it, wouldn't you also invest more money in it?
Right.
Whereas, like, Henry's like, I don't know, what did we get this month from the Penguins, from Liverpool, from NASCAR, from the Red Sox? Let's look at that. I don't think he's like, hey, Alex Cora, why did you take out, you know,
no,
Chris Martin when you did.
I don't think so
I don't
either.
Think he knows any of the players.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Kraft obviously is at every game, or just about at every game, and clearly cares. So, like, if you think there's a chance where maybe there could be change, like, that's what it would have to be. It would have to be an owner who is really into it and, like, wants to know why you're making these decisions.
So, some of the other coaches, at least a year ago, and Bill's one of them, it sounds like Bill O'Brien was another, if I had to read between the lines, didn't like Mayo. his bosses now, after all these losses, are coming in and asking him, why'd you do X, Y, and Z?
And I can't imagine after every one of those. So there's been, what, 10 losses already?
Uh-huh.
So I can't imagine after every loss, they're like, oh, that's a good reason.
Yeah.
No. Hey, why didn't you go for two?
Well, he's so good.
Well, we thought we were going to go for overtime.
He's so good explaining it in front of the media, Keith, when he's had time to think about it. Imagine how he is when he's getting peppered by his bosses.
Does a great job.
So
yeah.
Does that sound like a guy who's back? I mean, to me, not really. Yeah. And I think it was noteworthy. I'll keep reiterating. I think it was noteworthy. Curran told us earlier this week he thinks Elliott Wolf is on firmer ground than Jerod Mayo.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a noteworthy adjustment from Tom Curran. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. We will get into the Bruins. The Bruins Thursday, they've won three in a row under Joe Sacco. They've won 6 out of 8 under Joe Sacco. Is that proof they made the right call by firing Jim Montgomery? That's next.